Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Kendall County Board's adjourned September meeting of this Tuesday, April 5th, 2016, at 6:45 p.m. Please call the roll.
Ms. Kulik?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Present.
Mr. Kokel?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a full house. Now I'd like a motion for approval of the previous month's minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, now with item five, approval of the agenda, I would like you to turn over your agenda so that we're moving executive session to item 17 and sliding everything else up higher so that we will be after questions, citizens be heard, and questions from the press. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Could I have a motion to that effect?
Yes, sir.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Are there any correspondence or communications?
I don't have anything.
Is there any need for special recognition? Hearing none. Are there any citizens to be heard? Very good. New business.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry. Please approach. Please approach and give your name only.
Hi, my name is Steve. I'm supporting the cupcake law, and that you're going to hopefully pass later tonight. I asked peanut butter cookies to show that people can bake when not a resident commercial kitchen. So please pass these around.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Citizens, I'm sorry. New business. I got flummoxed waiting for my cupcake. Metra stakeholders' letters to Congressman Hultgren's update. As you see in your packet, we have a letter to Congressman Randy Hultgren, which, if you'll turn the letter over, the village of Montgomery, the mayor of the city of Yorkville, the mayor of Plano, and the mayor of Sandwich, and the mayor of Oswego, village president, I'm sorry, and myself have signed and sent this on to Congressman Hultgren, thanking him for his bringing everyone together to hear once again not so encouraging news. Is there any questions about this? Judy?
Did you say that you've already sent the letter on?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make a statement. I'm not in favor of this study, and I wrote some things down so I wouldn't forget what I wanted to say, but if you wouldn't mind, I want to just take a few minutes. Spending over $6 million to continue studying something that we know we cannot afford is not a good use of taxpayers' money. As far as the study is concerned, we already know the answer. We can't afford to extend Metra service to Kendall County. Metra's own spokesman told us it would cost $200 million to extend Metra to Yorkville, and even more to go all the way to Sandwich. This means one thing, that the taxpayers of Kendall County would be the ones paying the bill. People in this county are paying some of the highest taxes in the entire state and even in the whole nation, and we can't ask people to pay more. From my conversations with people around the county, I hear the same thing from everyone. Taxes are too high. People need tax relief and not more taxes. The money for the study may be earmarked, but it is still taxpayer money. It's not free money. The mindset of spending taxpayers' money just because it's there needs to stop. especially when we have so many other critical needs that we should be addressing. We need to be realistic about this and not waste any more public money on studies. This is unnecessary spending, and I can't ask our citizens to foot the bill when we already have people leaving the county and the state because taxes are too high. Extending Metra is a very costly project, and this service is only used by a small number of county residents. We can make better use of public money on transportation projects that will benefit the whole county. At a time when the federal government is broke, the state of Illinois is broke, cities are in trouble, let's not forget that we were elected to represent the taxpayers, and we should be watching every dollar very closely.
Have you sent that letter to the Honorable Randy Hogan?
No, I haven't.
Would you please?
Sure.
And also to Gail Johnson, who seems to be very excited about this. But you're certainly entitled to your opinion, and thank you for reading your letter.
Well, thank you for letting me.
All right. Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day Proclamation. This is something we received a little too late to put it in until this meeting. However, we've changed one thing on it, and this is from the Daughters of American Revolution. And so I'll read this to you. County of Kendall, Illinois Proclamation in recognition of Vietnam War veterans. Whereas our nation's Vietnam War commemoration gives us the opportunity for all Americans to recognize, honor, and thank our Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifices during the Vietnam War from November 1st, 1955, when I was a junior in high school, through May 15th, 1975, and whereas over 9,000 organizations across America have joined with the Department of Defense as a commemorative partner to honor our nation's Vietnam veterans, including all 105 chapters of Illinois State Organization, National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution, and whereas the commemoration includes 9 million Americans, with approximately 7.2 million of them living today, and makes no distinction who served in country, in theater, or were stationed elsewhere during these 20 years, all answered the call of duty. And whereas Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert A. McDonald designated March 29, 2016, the last day that the U.S. troops were on the ground in Vietnam. That's a misprint. As a day to honor those who have borne the battle and to extend the gratitude and appreciation to them and their families, now therefore the County of Kendall, Illinois does proclaim May 15th, 2016 as Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. And on the back of that, in your
second,
in your packet here, is showing you the letter we received, when we received it, and when it was sent out, and the original letter from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Secretary Robert A. McDonald, and the envelope. So, now we are entering a public hearing to obtain public comment and consider economic, social, and environmental effects of the application for public transportation financial assistance under Section 5311 of the Federal Transit Act of 1991 as amended on 49 U.S.C. paragraph 5311.
Did we vote on the proclamation? Do we have to vote on it?
No, can you read it, or you can vote on it? If the rest of the board would like to support it, it can.
All right. Well, that's a very good point. Would you like to vote on it? Would you like to accept it, or would you like to?
Your reading of it's just perfectly fine, sir.
Being the only veteran on the board, you better approve it.
I'll just accept it, then.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Public notice, Kendall County Board, notice is hereby given the Kendall County Board to hold a public hearing Tuesday, April 15th, 2016 at 6:55 p.m. in the Kendall County Office Building, room 209 and 210 at 111 West Fox Street, Yorkville, Illinois. The purpose of this hearing is to obtain public comment and consider the economic, social, environmental effects of the application for public transportation financial assistance under Section 5311 of the Federal Transit Act of 1991, as amended 49 U.S.C. paragraph 5311. The purpose of the assistance is to continue to provide demand response transportation center within transportation services within Kendall County, commonly known as the Kendall Area Transit. All interested persons may attend and be heard. Questions can be directed to the Kendall County Office of Administrative Services, telephone 630-553-4834, fax 630-553-4214. Written comments should be directed to the Kendall County Offices of Administrative Services, 111 West Fox Street, Yorkville, Illinois, 60560, that shall only be entered as part of the record at the discretion of the Kendall County Board. With that, saying that in all one breath, is there anybody that would like to comment at the hearing? Mr. Milron, please approach. This will not be a debate.
There will not be no debate. There'll be one question. It's the same question I asked the last public hearing we had on it. No answer has been forthcoming on that. And the question is, how much is the subsidy per ride? And if somebody here can give me an answer to that question, it doesn't have to be tonight. If it's a $6 ride, are we subsidizing it by $3? Or how much is taxpayers subsidizing Kendall Area Transit per ride? That's the dollar amount I'd like to know. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now move to close the hearing. What?
I got one thing of business.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Mr. Weiss, I mean, state's attorney has something else?
Under new business, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency issued notice. You probably should have received that as well on the Groot Industries Plano transfer station that they're looking to modify their permit. You have 21 days from the day this was issued, so basically 3 or 4 more days. Comment, if you choose to, please let us know. They're looking to take landscape waste and other... Sorry. You okay, Mr. Shaw?
No. Which site is this?
The Plano transfer station.
Oh.
So, if you want to, we just got notice. That's all.
Excuse me.
Eric.
Thank you, Member Gilmore.
What were the modifications?
They're looking to, it doesn't indicate, just tell us, to us at the bottom, a development permit modification. It looks like they're just on their transfer station for general municipal refuse, landscape and yard waste, and other, and it doesn't specify what.
What do you think?
Modification.
What? They're asking to modify it, but they're not saying what?
That's all that they give us.
Okay.
Basically a one page. Here, I'll pass it down to you. You can look at it.
Okay.
That's all it indicates.
That's all they ever hand out.
Yep.
To the
just a notice that it's being done. If you
yep.
want to look up the permit application itself, it gives us a lot more details. But the notice that they send out is just a requirement they have to notify us.
And they've done this before, haven't they?
Yes,
yeah.
they have.
Okay.
But I always like to let you know that
yeah.
if you choose to do anything, you don't have to, but you receive the notice.
Okay. Thank you.
Read item 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Worley, did you have a question?
You answered it. We can go on their website and get the permit.
Yeah, and they've got a, let's see, I thought they had it on here somewhere.
I'll get it after.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Bureau of Land.
Thank you. Under the chairman is a little bit choked up, so he asked me if I could
read
these on. For a moment. Old business, approve the construction of Kendall County Law Enforcement Memorial as designed by drawings dated October 30th, 2015 at the Kendall County Courthouse, 807 West John Street, Yorkville, Illinois, and the amount not to exceed $50,000 to be paid from the Public Safety Capital Improvement Fund. And at the last meeting, if I recall correctly, we were all sort of in favor of it, but Eric, you were going to go back and work with
We had some extensive discussions. Jeff, Jeff Bergner from the Kendall County Chiefs Association about how best to do this. I did send out an email that would kind of explain that meeting and what the consensus of the small group was, that it was just easier from a legal standpoint as well as even a financial standpoint to have the county construct the memorial. A lot of the work is going to be done with from a volunteer basis, so the cost isn't going to be a major issue, but those that we do expend will have to comply with any other project that we similar that we do with facilities to do so. Once that's done, there would be then a memorandum of understanding that would be entered into with the Chiefs Association to pay that amount back over that time frame. I talked to Mr. Purcell, or we kind of emailed back and forth over that issue as to what fund. Obviously, it's coming out of the Public Safety Capital Improvement Fund. As that money is received back in, it would go in to replenish that fund. SFERCO has already established line items for the expenditures as well as the donations or receipts as the revenue comes back in, if it's approved. It also will address issues such as just general landscaping, maintenance on the granite as things need to be done, who would be responsible for those items. As we mentioned before, we did mention before, during the discussions, the Chiefs Association has some money already raised for this purpose. As a sign of good faith, they were looking to expend a little bit more in that first year to pay that money back as a sign that they were going to be raising these funds. Obviously not expending all their money that they have set aside so they can continue to raise funds because they're going to do it through donations. The memorandum of understanding obviously is not a, you know, obviously a contract with them, but given that their close affiliation with, you know, especially on the law enforcement side, with not only the Sheriff's Office, County Board, but other municipalities within Kendall County, their position right now as how liquid they are, the group felt comfortable with going forward with that agreement, with that understanding that it would be money raised by the Chiefs Association until it was paid back in full that would reimburse the county in full. And the drawings are attached in your packet.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
We'll be bringing back the memorandum of understanding once the project is actually completed. That way we'll have all those things worked out once the, for example, landscaping is done, all those things are in place. We'll bring that back for your approval and then also by the Chiefs Association.
Thank you. Standing committee reports. The first one, planning, building, and zoning. We didn't meet last night. We meet next next week. The minutes, though, from our March 14th meeting are in here for approval. I don't think there was anything. Unusual. Oh, we discussed at the last meeting the intergovernmental agreement with the city of Yorkville. We've had an ongoing discussion about dumpsters in the residential districts, and then there's continued update on the Fox Metro water recommendation discussion, reclamation district discussion, but that hasn't moved anywhere as of yet. So that's all I have for that. Public safety, member Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of an RFP for jail food services.
Second.
Mr. In the packet is an RFP for jail food services. We are we're exploring and seeing going. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but going out to bid and getting a private food vendor service could save us money in this, instead of having an employee in the position.
Ms. Flowers?
What are we currently at for now?
Permanent.
$0.93?
I think it's $1.06.
And that's kind of high, because normally it was about 94 cents or something.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, that the price of the meal, it never figured in labor costs.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Coco?
How many employees do you have over there, Matt, or Sheriff?
Employees for food service?
Yeah, that code department.
We have one out now. He's retiring. He has a health issue, an FMLA. And then I have one part-timer. And then the other jail staff is picking up and helping out when we can until we decide what would be more economical at this point to move forward with a food service provider or replacing the person that's retiring.
So this is very informational research, this RFP.
Yes.
Any additional questions on that? Ms. Gilmore?
When would you like to start this, though?
We would like to bring it back before the board in May if we feel that it would be a good economical decision to make. And then we'd probably like to start it as soon as possible because we've been short-staffed for quite a while, a few months. We'll have to get the RFP together.
Ms. Flowers?
Are there any... I think last time I toured, there were several inmates who were working in the kitchen as well? Or
we usually have 3 to 4.
Okay, so that would continue?
Yes.
Okay.
That is continued in other jails and research we've done when they have an outside food provider.
Okay.
Any additional questions? Okay. Do we need a vote on that? Yes. Roll call, please.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Yeah.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley? Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I've been asked to, there was an additional item that I was asked by the state's attorney to include. It deals with a sleeping arbitrator.
Yeah, this is not an action item. This is a issue we brought before you. That issue is now done. That's not why it's not pending litigation anymore. As you recall, we had an arbitration hearing with one of Sheriff's Office former employees. That hearing was conducted by Arbitrator A. I'll just use his name as Arbitrator A right now. During that time, it was indicated that he was sleeping during part of that testimony, at least that's the one of the days. We presented that evidence. He indicated that he would proceed to ruling only if we agreed to waive any issue that we would bring up on appeal. If, in fact, we challenged his ruling later on, we did not agree to do that, and therefore he recused himself. We have a new arbitrator. The arbitrator briefs have been submitted. However, he still insisted on his payment. There is a issue at this point where he has indicated that he will be taking, if we don't pay, and the union has paid theirs, just so you're clear, the union has paid theirs for whatever reason they did, but that he will submit that complaint to, trying to remember the name of the, what she said, which is where we get our arbitrators from, that we would not, and if there was a founded complaint, we would not be able to use their services again. I don't know if he'll do it. If you want to pay it, that's up to you. Obviously, if that's a decision, both with obviously with the sheriff here to discuss anything that he has to say about it. But ultimately, the decision is yours. We can submit it for payment. You can pay him for the one day where he wasn't sleeping, or we can tell him no. So that's sheriff. I'm kind of talked a little bit more than my thought on this, but.
It was my recommendation not to pay it. I would, if we were to pay any of it, I would wait to see what we have to pay the arbitrator that is going to rule on it based on the transcript, and then whatever the difference would be, if the board felt we could pay him for that. But I don't see a need to pay a person to sleep. And we filed, the grievance, not the grievance, we objected to it, or the court term you would use in something like that, an objection?
Right.
Yeah. The objection about him sleeping the second day that he was there, because we wanted to reserve the right, and that's done all the time in a courtroom, whereas an attorney will raise an objection, it's ruled on at that point, and then at the end, the judge would still provide a decision, and this arbitrator did not feel he wanted to do that, so I don't know what we're paying him for. So, but obviously, it's a decision by this board, whether you want to pay the bill or not. It would be my recommendation to wait. At the most, we would pay him the difference, and if the other arbitrator charges more, which I doubt because they're going to read the transcript, we could pay him for some of his time here, but to pay full payment when someone's sleeping on the job, I don't feel is right. But again, that's your decision.
Mr. Davidson?
Well, there's no motion on the table, so if there's no motion, no action taken. No. It just sits there in limbo until we decide we want to do something with it.
That's correct. We just want to give you the option before the next meeting. If you chose to, we indicated we would bring this at this meeting forward, at least for discussion. If you were inclined to pay it, you could submit it through your normal voucher system, and you'd pay it through the normal finance committee, then through the next county board meeting.
Mr. Prochaska.
About how long was the arbitrator sleeping?
There were several times. I wasn't in there. Sheriff Baird can probably answer that question more than I can.
There's recordings of them on 8 separate times. The longest recording is about 2 hours, or I'm sorry, two minutes and 10 seconds. The other one's a minute and 58 seconds. And then there's 6 shorter ones, ranging anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. And there was other times that were not recorded. So
what is our pleasure on that? Just submit it through the regular process, or to just let it?
No motion on the table, so move on.
It as State Attorney Weiss had said, we would, if the board wanted it paid, we would submit it to the normal voucher system. If not, we'll just hold on to the bill. We wanted to let you know about the communications between the arbitrator and the state's attorney and myself.
Well, then you want a motion to hold
no.
the bill?
No.
No.
Can't
no.
Can't move. Just
forget
know what you're.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Administration HR, Ms. Kulik.
I would like to make a motion to approve resolution authorizing application for public transportation financial assistance under Section 5311 of the Federal Transit Act of 1991 as amended, 49 U.S.C. paragraph 5311 and Dallas State Public Transportation Act 30 ILCS 740-2/2-1.
Second.
Discussion, questions? We had our public hearing already.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
How much does the county contribute to this?
Jeff probably is better equipped to answer that. My memory's not.
There is a memo in your packet, though, also behind the page after the resolution. And that'll outline the county's contribution is $45,000. Plus, we, of course, our time. Andres is the PCOM, state's attorney's office does review. So, I mean, there's other time involved. But our actual financial contribution is $45,000. The other local match is made up by municipalities. There's local service agreements that the Volunteer Action Center will actually receive through other agencies, let's say like Open Door or Senior Services Associates and such. But our contribution is the, again, $45,000. There's this application is a combined application. One is for what's called 5311, and that's what your public hearing was initially at the beginning of the meeting. And that's you have to have that public hearing before application every year. So we'll this is like clockwork. It's usually this time of the year. And under the 5311 federal funding, we get around $55,000 plus or minus a few hundred. And then the Downstate Operating Assistance Program, if you see that we started out, the appropriation through the state was about $1 million. It's by statute that appropriation grows by 10%, but we never reached that amount because our program just isn't that large, and we don't have enough local match to grow it that large. So we'll receive around $800,000 or so. Volunteer Action Center actually incurs the cost up front, and then this is a reimbursement. And as time has gone, you know, obviously that reimbursement has been slower and more delayed. But in brief, to answer one of the questions that was brought up earlier, 5311 is a 50% match of expenses, and the Downstate Operating Assistance Program is a 65% match. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Mr. Purcell.
So when you mention a 50% and a 65%, does obviously the 50 is 50-50, but the 65, is that 65 from locals or 65 from state, federal?
The above. Basically, you have to have the 35%, and then the operating assistance would then contribute the 65%. So the that could be local, it could be service contracts, it could it can be also federal, can be used to match the state.
So 100% of the subsidy is tax dollars, but 35% of the subsidy would be local tax dollars, not necessarily just from the county, though.
Right, okay. That's correct.
Thank you.
Any additional questions on this? Roll call, please.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, Finance Committee, Mr. Purcell.
Hello. Thank you. First item, I would move we approve claims in the amount of $826,115.67 and election judge claims in the amount of $55,557.21.
So move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Abstain.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Thank you. The next item is approval of letter of understanding with corrections deputies for 12-hour shifts.
So moved.
Second.
Oh, Mr. Worley.
Briefly describe how this went through committees and stuff so that everybody knows that this is.
Well, it came to the Finance Committee for discussion to come to the board, because my understanding is the Sheriff's Office would like to move quickly on this. The patrol deputies, if you recall, have been on this for about a year now, and the correction deputies apparently have recently realized that they voted on it. I don't know what the vote was, but it was pretty overwhelming that they like to try this as well. So it just went to finance and it's coming straight to the board just for, you know, a little quicker action.
This,
Mr. Davidson.
This is a trial basis, correct? Isn't this just a temporary trial to see if it fits?
It's the same letter of understanding that the board approved with the other three unions. Yeah, we will evaluate it based on an employee. They'll say we'd like to continue with it or not, and then the employer has that obligation or that right as well in the first week or two of October, so we can set the schedule for the following year.
Mr. Davidson.
Can you give us an update on what you think the other 12-hour shifts are, you know, are they successful? What's going on?
Yes, I feel that other 12-hour shifts are successful.
Is there a savings?
Our overtime is down for the year, knock on wood. We were down last year in overtime as well. So I feel that it helps. We haven't been at full staff since I've been in office, and I still feel that we're maintaining safety in our community. So I would I would like to try it, and that's what's nice about it. It's a trial basis, kind of like an engagement period.
Ms. Flowers?
I think I asked this in finance also. It has improved absenteeism, is that correct?
Pardon?
This has also improved absenteeism?
Well, when somebody calls, hours, no, because when somebody calls in sick, they're calling in sick for 12 hours mm-hmm. instead of 8. But if you look at the overall days, don't really have any data to support that.
Okay.
But we haven't had to use as much overtime when someone has called in sick mm-hmm. because of the way the staffing is set up.
Right. Mr. Purcell.
This might be a question for State's Attorney. How does this impact our ongoing negotiations with this unit and our ability to use this as maybe a point of negotiation?
For your chief negotiator right behind Sheriff Baird.
Do you want to comment first?
Leslie Johnson.
Leslie Johnson with State's Attorney's Office. Mr. Purcell, in response to your question, the letter of understanding is a trial period agreement. 12-hour shifts would not be within the contract itself. It would be a trial period. And if all parties like it at the end of October, then we will discuss it at that time on whether or not to make it a more permanent thing. So with it impacting the negotiations for this particular unit, 12-hour shifts would not be in the actual union contract. It would be that separate letter of understanding attached to the back of the contract.
So even if we miraculously come to a conclusion in the next 30 days with this unit, this would not be part of the language contract? It would still be an addendum?
Yes, it's a letter of understanding. So it is an addendum separate from the contract itself.
But even if we negotiate a new one, it would be separate from that one as well?
It is attached to the back of the contract, but it's not actually in the text of the contract itself.
Okay.
So if you look at the contracts, you'll see we have plenty of letter of understandings attached to the backs of union contracts. It's a regular practice, and we do that with the units. We've done it with the patrol units. We've done it with the correction sergeant's unit. Same holds true. And with that said, you know, with this letter of understanding, if all parties like it, it's something that we would have to negotiate into the contract at the end of the trial period
okay.
at some point.
Do you feel this might compromise or weaken our position at all as far as negotiating?
Well, I'm not sure how it would weaken the position if it's not part of the contract.
So if we negotiate a contract, does the board have the ability later on to say, you know what, we just don't like this, or is that strictly the sheriff? Because I don't recall voting on it again in October for the previous unit.
Well, I did come to the board and say that I wanted it. Normally, this is an operational thing. It normally doesn't have a financial impact, so that traditionally has been with the sheriff. And when I negotiated contracts on municipal level, operational stuff was left off to the chief of police.
And why would we have to vote on this?
You're a co-employer.
Any additional questions? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
No.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you.
Got a few more things, Mr. Purcell.
Oh, yeah, I got all this stuff. Okay, thank you. The next item is an ordinance abating the taxes levied for the year 2015 payable 2016 to pay debt service on general obligation bonds, alternate revenue source, series 2007A, 2007B, 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011 of the County of Kendall. I would move that we approve.
Second. Any discussion? Mr. Worley.
No, this actually was brought to finance, and what this is, there's two different things here. The next one is actually a refinancing of bonds. what this is housework we've been doing every year for the past, Jeff, 5, 6, 7 years. Our auditor at one time recommended we do this. What this is, we pass these bonds in the previous years to pay for courthouse work, to pay for jail work, and the alternate revenue source bonds, what those say is, in the event that your alternate revenue source, in this case sales tax, is not available to pay those bonds, you will levy those taxes. And the auditor has recommended that we take action each year, just a formal action. We've always paid them, but we take a formal action, a resolution that memorializes that we're going to take the money, set it aside to pay those bonds.
Okay. I'm going to support it, but I hope that in the future we can at least have a 2-minute conversation in committee of the whole so everybody knows about it instead of just going to finance.
Well, that's fine. We've done this every year. This is the same process. So.
I understand.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Thank you. The next one, and Mr. Worley, this one did go through committee hold. I would move that we approve by roll call vote the ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation refunding bonds, alternate revenue source, series 2016, of the County of Kendall, Illinois.
Second.
Any comment?
Jeff, we have some information on this tonight.
We do. I passed a packet out today. We also have Anthony Maselli from Spear Financial here. So if you recall, the timeline's actually in your packet too. The bond sale actually occurred this morning, and it went very well. In general, in your packet, you'll see the amount of savings just on this one refinance. It's on basically your fourth, the third page, looks like this, says final. And if you look at the bottom right-hand side, gross savings, $514,695. So that's how much by refinancing, but I'm going to let Anthony describe the bond sale auction process that went this morning and how well it went.
Sure. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Jeff stole a little bit of my thunder. But we had the sale this morning for the county's $5,190,000 obligation for funding bonds. Ended up having a really fantastic open auction. We had six bidders show up and submit 26 separate bids to buy the bonds. The winner, Fifth Third Securities, won with a true interest rate of 1.77%. So they bid six times, improved their bid 13 basis points to win those bonds. Second place was Robert Baird with a 180. Going into the auction, I thought, if we broke 2%, we'd be really, really happy here. And we obviously blew right through that. You can see the range of bids were that 177 where we won, or where Fifth Third won, to an outside bid of nearly 219, 2.19%. So they ranged fairly far, but with Fifth Third came in with a really attractive bid. As Jeff mentioned, overall savings was $514,000, worth $483,000 on a present value basis, or 9.37%. So a very, very attractive refinancing. And, many public bodies choose to go at 3% savings in cases, and with 9%, it's very attractive. This was the first part of essentially a two- or three-step plan to refinance some of these alternate revenue bonds that are paid by the public safety sales tax, and it went very well. So an update to the packet we originally discussed is in with this as well. So you can see the first part is now final, and the other two parts are estimated. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah. Here, Mr. Davidson.
This savings goes directly back to the citizens, correct?
This is a little different than the count or the force preserve issue that we were talking about prior. This is paid by sales tax, so it's more of a budgetary relief to the county. Frees up additional sales tax dollars.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the Kendall County Court appointed special advocate for CASA lease agreement. I move that we approve.
Second.
I'm trying to remember, is that a 1 or 2 year agreement, Jeff?
I think it was 2 years.
It's a 1 year agreement, John, with two optional renewal periods. So
thank you, Eric.
It just lapsed. They didn't send us their notice. I think they forgot. Same with the next one, so.
And nothing has changed from our end or
no.
Thank you.
Except the dates.
Did you make a motion?
I think I made a motion, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. There's a motion in a second.
Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley? It's distracting. He's distracting me. Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item, as Mr. Weiss just stated, very similar. Approval of the Kane County. I would move we approve the Kane County Department of Education employment lease agreement with the county.
Second.
Discussion?
Again, this one lapsed as well. Jeff's office has volunteered to kind of keep track of these, so we can nudge them as we get closer to make sure that they remember, so we don't have to do this every year.
Okay. Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes. Thank you. next item is approval of the Kendall County Authority, Housing Authority lease agreement with Kendall County. I move we do so.
Second.
That one has not expired.
Mr. Weiss.
Sorry. It will be effective August 1, which is when their lease will expire. This will just be a little preemptive, so for once we'll be ahead of the curve.
Thank you.
That's on my thank Mr. Prochaska.
Matt, thank you.
All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Milliron, you are distracting our clerk. I hate to call you out. Thank you. Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. Next item we have is the approval of the senior tax levy grants. This year, we did not have the hearings as we've had in the past. We had actually two groups who did not apply this year, who applied in the past. The Fox Valley Family YMCA did not apply. They applied last year. And the Community Meals for Seniors did not apply. They had applied 2 years ago, but did not apply last year. So what I would do is move that we approve the senior tax levy grants in the following amounts. Community Nutrition Network, $20,274. Fox Valley Older Adult Service, $58,703. Kendall County Health Department, $59,178. Oswegoland Seniors, $43,226. Prairie State Legal Services, $8,500. Senior Services Associates, $124,619. And the Visiting Nurse Association, $10,000. That's my motion.
Second.
Mr. Davidson.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Purcell, these are more, this is more than what most of them require, requested and or the same amount, am I not correct?
Well, I will.
Or what, wait a minute, I should restate that, more than we set, gave them last year.
There you go.
I'm sorry, you're totally right, I was mistaken.
And here, just, here, I'll tell you, the following three groups received exactly what they requested this year. The Kendall County Health Department requested $59,178, and that's what the recommend, well, let me say, that's what the recommendation is. The Prairie State Legal Services requested $8,500, and that's what the recommendation is. And the Visiting Nurses Association requested $10,000, and that's what the recommendation is. The following groups, the Community Nutrition Network, the Fox Valley Older Adults, the Oswego Land Seniors, and the Senior Services, all the recommendation is to give them more than last year, but not the full request. So everyone got either what they requested or more than they received last year. And the amount that we have, if you tally these up, it's $324,500, and that is the amount that was budgeted.
Mr. Worley.
So arbitrarily we gave all but three of these raises, or all, I'll rephrase that. Arbitrarily the finance group has decided to give raises to all but three of these groups.
Well, you could say it that way. I'd like to look at it as three of these people got exactly 100% what they requested, and the other four didn't.
How much more did the other four get?
It varies. I'll tell you.
Could you please tell me?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Community Nutrition Network last year received $16,797, and this year it's being recommended $20,274. The Fox Valley Older Adults last year received $55,226. This year the recommendation is $58,703. Oswego Land Seniors last year received $39,749. And this year, the recommendation is $43,226. The Senior Services last year received $121,142. And this year, they're receiving $124,619. And the VNA Healthcare, last year, they received $8,144. This year, they requested $10,000, and the recommendation is to give them the $10,000. And the other two, the health department, requested $59,178, and that's what is recommended. And the Prairie State Legal Services requested $8,500, and that's what's being recommended is $8,500.
Ms. Gilmore. Oh, sorry.
I guess instead of splitting these up equally, we've decided to, you guys have decided to ask for approval for a certain amount of funding, extra funding for some and not for others.
This is our recommendation.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
John, I know this year you chose not to have the hearings where the agencies could come in. And,
correct.
And as you know, I was not in favor of that
correct.
Decision. And I would hope that next year you would consider letting those agencies come in for a presentation and for the opportunity to explain their needs and their grant requests and give the committee an opportunity to listen and ask questions and hopefully gain some information from that.
That's fair. Now, just so you know, all of the groups were notified that there would not be hearings. I didn't do the notification myself, so I'm just telling you what I've been told. Mm-hmm. I've been told that not one of them objected. In fact, most of them were quite pleased they didn't need to give a presentation.
Yes, I realize that, but I do think it's important for them to have that opportunity to come in, not only for them, but also for the committee. So
that's
I just
fair.
Hope you would go back to that original practice.
Group, whoever's on the committee next year can make that determination.
Mr. Worley.
This also was not brought to the committee at all.
That's correct.
And so I'd just like to remind the group that this is not a five-member board, this is a 10-member board, and I would like to, in the future, if we are going to change, what I was told is that this was going to be the the same as we had done in the past, and if there had been changes suggested, I would have asked that we bring this in front of the committee to hold for consideration for this entire board. This is not a 5-member board, this is a 10-member board. We have the right to say yes or no to the recommendations of the finance group, and I don't feel that's appropriate.
Well, I agree with you. You can vote yes or no, and if you vote yes, that's fine. If you vote no, that's fine. I don't lose any sleep over it. But what I will say is, until last year, every single year, this was brought from the finance committee to the full board for a vote. Last year, it was brought from the finance committee to the full board for a vote. It was recommended to go back to, I don't know if it was finance or committee of the whole, and my statement at that time was, it'll probably come back different. Came back different, and it was voted on and passed. So I have no problem with this recommendation. It was unanimous, actually. It was a 5-0 unanimous. We had a full committee. I was pleased to see that, and all 5 people supported this. So, yeah, well, if we get one more, that's 60%. If we don't, then we'll go back to the drawing board or give them nothing. I'm not going to lose sleep either way, Jeff.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Purcell. Judicial Legislative, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the Aurora Election Commission resolution.
Second?
Second.
And I'd like to yield it to the chairman for discussion.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. And this was something that came up as a result of election night. It kind of came to mind anyway as on election night. And then it followed up when the mayor of Aurora, he called for the abolition of the Aurora Election Commission. And when I saw that, it raised questions in my own mind as to whether we needed to continue having essentially 2 boards do the same thing, or 2 different positions do the same thing. The Aurora Election Commission handles all the elections in the city of Aurora, which includes part of Kendall County. I know some folks don't realize that, but there is a portion of Kendall, Aurora in Kendall County. And our clerk is very capable of handling the additional precincts, I believe. We've talked about it a little bit. I've also talked with the Kane County clerk, who feels the same way. They can do it, also do it at a more efficient rate. If you look the second to last paragraph, the Aurora Election Commission had a revenue of $1.3 million in 2014, and also expenses of $1.3 million in 2014. You know, it's hard to say until they actually get into it, but I know that the clerks have indicated that they can do it for a better value, and they can certainly do it more efficiently because they're doing it, you know, throughout both of their counties as well. That's why I brought it up. I thought that this was an opportunity. That by us passing this resolution, it does absolutely nothing other than to show that our support for this, the mayor and the city of Aurora, you know, it actually requires them to go and file petitions and have a referendum to take it off the ballot or take it to disband it, because it was passed by referendum in 1934 originally. I think the reasoning for it at the time was that they had to, and Matt, I think you researched this a little bit, they had to go to the county seat at the time, and it made sense, you know, almost 100 years ago. That was a bygone era. This is an era where, in addition to the cost, you know, there were candidates that were waiting into the following morning, and there's really no excuse for that in this day and age. You know, you should be able to find out pretty much that night with the technology that we have. That's the whole point of having all of this technology, is so that you can have results quickly, and that just didn't happen, you know, on election night this year. So that's where this came from originally, and I'd ask for your favorable vote, and happy to entertain any questions. Seeing none.
Motion or not?
Did you make it? Yeah, he made it. Nice second, I think.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Davidson.
So roll call, please.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw stepped out. Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Worley, Animal Control?
Animal Control met March 16th. You have the minutes in your packet. We went through the full reports. We had some discussion about new offices that are needed down there, and the discussion was as a possibility of either finding or purchasing a trailer to be able to put right next to it and be able to house a couple offices so that we have more room and it'll cover need for expansion for quite a while. Had ongoing discussions with the village about being able to set it next to the building. Don't seem to have any issues there. Jeff Wilkins and myself are going to go up to beautiful Maple Park tomorrow and look at a trailer, so we'll give you a report back and see what we have. Animal Control does have a building fund, so the group would need to be able to talk that over, and if it's this group's like, we could bring it to the entire group, but this would be money out of Animal Controls to be able to either lease or purchase an office so that there'd be a little bit more room for interaction with the people and their perspective. That's about all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Worley? Seeing none. Health and Environment, Ms. Gilmore.
Thank you. Health and Environment met Monday, March 21st, and the report is in your packet. We had quite a long discussion with Dr. Tokars on the Health Department annual report, and there's a good report in your packets on that. And I'd like to make a motion to approve Rain Barrel Month. There's a proclamation in your packet.
I'll second that.
May is Rain Barrel Month, so... and this year, doing it a little bit differently. Normally, the Soil and Water District has those for sale, but this year you can order those from the Conservation Foundation and also from the Village of Oswego. So.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
And secondly, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the direct sales of baked goods from home kitchen operations ordinance, and that is also in your packet.
Second.
And the county has updated this law, the Illinois state law, and one thing to note is on the second page under B, there are six conditions that were put into the ordinance. Any questions?
Any questions for Ms. Gilmore? Mr. Purcell.
Judy, I don't remember if this came up for discussion or not. Mm-hmm. Will there be a permit required to do this? Can people just do it because we passed the ordinance?
You know, I'm not sure, John. I did not think there was, but okay, I could be
I
wrong.
I couldn't remember if we discussed that or not.
I don't remember discussing it either.
Mr. Prochaska?
Mr. Purcell, I believe it was, since we passed the ordinance, they can just mention the activities, so as long as they meet the rules, they can meet the conditions set forth.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Would there be an inspection, potentially, if there's a Mr. Worley?
There'd be an inspection only if there's a violation. If there's a called violation of the of
complaint system. Driven.
Exactly. Okay. Complaint driven only.
Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye. Sorry,
thank you.
Sorry.
That woke everybody up.
Yeah, it did. And Ms. Gilmore, I just have a quick question for you.
Sure.
On the annual report for the health department,
yeah.
I think I had seen in the paper about some of the other counties and their rankings. Has that come out yet as to what the rank? You know, Kendall County has been the second healthiest in the state
yeah,
years
we
past,
did. We did discuss that. And Dr. Tokars, do you want to come up and expound on that?
Because Was it? I missed it. You want to just...
There's mention of it in the minutes, and I think what we talked about more than that, more importantly, is there's a lot of work to do in Kendall County despite that ranking. So I think just from the top of my head, some things that we talked about, there are areas for us to work on. Our addiction, very high in Kendall County, chlamydia, obesity. Those are three things that we talked about. There might have been some others, but there's still a lot of work to be done. But yes, we did rank second overall in the state of Illinois for happiness.
Thank you. All right. Is there a motion to approve the standing committee minutes? Motion by Flowers, seconded by Davidson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The special committee reports, KenCom Executive Board. Judy.
Yes, the Executive Board will not meet until May, as far as we know.
Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska.
First off, thanks to the County Board for extending the lease of the Housing Authority in the HHS building. Secondly, we met in March. Just wanted to report that the soonest our wait list will be able to be opened will probably be late in 2016 or early 2017 if the current trends of attrition continue. This will be the first time this wait list has been open since 2008, I believe. We will be meeting in, our next meeting will be in May.
Thank you. Stormwater Oversight Committee public hearing. You'll note in your packet are the minutes from our public hearing. So I'm looking for a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Flowers. Is there any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chairman's report. Mr. Chairman, do you have anything to report to us? All right. Appointments. Judith Burks, Chairman of the Ethics Commission. Announcement. Heather Hadris from Boomba Inc. replaces Steve Anderson on the Workforce Development Board. Expires 9/30 of 2017. So I think that will be an appointment at the next meeting as a result.
You Mr. have Worth. To vote on the appointments. Yeah. It's listed backwards.
Is there a motion to approve the appointment of Judith Burks?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying no. Roll call. Roll call, please.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And the announcement, once again, that was Heather Hadris from Boomba Inc., replacing Steve Anderson on the Workforce Development Board, and we'll vote on that next time. I believe there is a need for executive session. Can we move that to the end?
Yes.
Other business? Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes.
Just want to say thanks. And you, Mr. Prochaska?
Could you say your name for the record?
Oh, I'm Steve, about the cupcake ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Prochaska. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I can't believe one person did all this for the county. That's amazing. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Todd Miller in Yorkville. As a citizen of this county who believes in democracy, it's time to, we're going to stop spending money for studies on mass transit in this county, then I think you should give us citizens a chance to vote on that. So you have the power or the authority to put that question on the November ballot, and it would be a good time to do so because we'll have a lot of participation in this election, and let the citizens of this county decide what they want to do, whether we want to be part of the RTA or not part of the RTA, and let's quit spending money if they decide accordingly. So anyway, I'm encouraging you to think about a referendum question for that, and let's let this county decide on the future of mass transit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Diane Salmer, Oswego. Thank you, Judy Gilmore, for standing up for the taxpayers. This money should not be spent for more studies. The money comes from the taxpayers. It just doesn't make any sense. I have some neighbors that ride the train to downtown on a daily basis for their jobs. They're telling me it's something like 400 people. When Metra does a study, they're going to see how many people actually will ride back and forth on a daily basis, not counting, you know, hi, I'm going to take the kids downtown. While public transportation like that in the form of Metra would be great. Wouldn't it be great to have a train station in Oswego? Oswego wants it. Oswego started this sandwich. You name it, Yorkville, Plano, everything. Something like that would be fine, but who's going to pay for it? You have Metra is $80 billion in the hole. The whole community has a problem. People want tax relief. They want it. They need it. And I thank you for, you know, saying no on that Metra study for it, because the money does come from their taxpayers. Whatever's still left, if it's $1 million, $1.7 million. And even the Metra chairman had said, you people should use the money for something else. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Well, you're preaching to the choir, Diane. You should give that speech at the Village of Oswego.
Questions from the press? Seeing none?
No.
Too late.
Jim Wyman from WSPY. I wanted to ask Judy Gilmore and Matt Pachasco what happened to the oversight restoration ordinance.
Yes. Nothing happened to it. We are actually in discussions with the state's attorney going to review the three ordinances that is an amendment to. So it's time to do a good thorough review, and the some of those ordinances, I don't know, maybe all of them have never been reviewed by state's attorney. So that's where it's at right now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion for executive session.
For the purpose of litigation, when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court.
Someone.
That's it.
Second.
Motion and a second. Do we need a roll call or need a roll call?
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Prochaska, seconded by Worley. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Out of here.
Unless you are in love.